Song of Songs, chapter 4. Lord, I love what our brother said, that we would trust you enough and take our trust all the way forward to where we obey you. Trusting that you know what's best. Lord, as we consider these very important subjects in this series, I pray your blessing upon relationships. I pray for marriages to be refreshed. I pray for youth to know how to date wisely. Lord, we give you our full attention tonight. Bless this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Why don't you pretend tonight that you visit a town? You've never been to this town. It's a small town. And when you get there, they're having a town picnic. Everyone's gathered at the park next to the lake. Everybody's there, all the families, grandparents, parents, adults, teenagers, young kids, everyone's in the park having this awesome time. And there you are, sort of enjoying yourself, when all of a sudden, a strong, powerful crocodile comes out of the lake and chomps a guy's leg off. And you're like, crocodile! Check it out, whoa! And the people, they go over and they bandage that guy. But they ignore the crocodile. You see, in that town, they don't talk about crocodiles. So then another crocodile comes out, drags a kid into the lake. And then another crocodile comes out and kills a man. And so a family has now lost a husband and a father. And it's a bloodbath. But everyone's like, shh, we don't talk about crocodiles in this town. That's sort of what it's like when it comes to the topic of sex. Sexual desire is a very strong desire. It's probably one of the most powerful desires in our lives as human beings. And sex that's not restrained can be very damaging. Sex can destroy people's lives. Sex can destroy marriages. Sex can destroy future marriages. Sex can destroy families. Children can get lost. But we don't talk about sex. We ignore that. And you know, that's one of those topics that is ignored in the church. Oh, you don't talk about sex at church. There are many Christian parents who refuse to talk to their own children about sex. Well, tonight, we're going to talk about sex. Our chapter in the Bible, and let me just remind you, this is the Bible. This is the Word of God. Our chapter tonight is about sex. And I am really glad that God puts a chapter like this in His Word. There aren't a whole lot of churches that will go through Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse by verse. But that's what we're going to do tonight. Last week, we looked at the wedding day of Solomon and that young Shulamite woman. They've been dating, they've gotten to know each other, and they got married. We studied their wedding day last week. Tonight, we look at their wedding night. This young couple has done it right. They've waited. They've been patient. They have not engaged in sex before marriage. Now they're married. Now it's their wedding night. And now the light turns green. So let's begin reading. They are in the bedroom. They're by themselves. The wedding chamber. And Solomon begins speaking to his wife. Verse 1, he says, "Behold, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair." Hebrew word means beautiful. You are beautiful. "You have dove's eyes behind your veil." Your eyes are so pretty, honey. Now, during the wedding ceremony, she'd be veiled. Now they're in the wedding chamber. She's unveiled. He can see her eyes. He says, "Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Mount Gilead." Now, that doesn't sound romantic at all. Honey, you've got goat hair. But understand what's being said. He's saying, it'd be like looking out in the distance at sunset and a whole flock of goats. You're seeing this from a sunset. A whole flock of goats is coming down the mountainside, and it's just so pretty. She's taken the veil off. She's let her hair down. Your hair's beautiful. "Your teeth," verse 2, "are like a flock of shorn sheep, which have come up from the washing, every one of which bears twins, and none is barren among them. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet, and your mouth is lovely." I love your lips. Your lips are beautiful. "Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate." Oh, your face is gorgeous, my love, he's telling her. "Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory, on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men." Again, that doesn't sound all romantic. You look like a military fort. The idea is your neck makes you look noble. Oh, my love, you are so gorgeous. You look like a queen. The way you carry yourself. The way you hold your head up high. Verse 5. Take a deep breath here. "Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies." Not speaking of her shape, not speaking of her color, speaking of her softness. What's going on here? She's undressing before her husband. She's taking the veil off. She's letting her hair down. And her husband's going all the way down her body, complimenting her. "Your hair, your eyes, your mouth, your face, your neck, your breasts." Good sex starts with compliments. Verbal expression of attraction. Now, I want to remind you of something we saw a few weeks ago, back when this couple was dating. You remember this young woman, she didn't think she was all that special physically, did she? You remember at one point she even says, "Don't look at me. I'm dark-skinned, I'm tanned. I work in the vineyard in the hot sun all day. I'm not beautiful like those fair-skinned city girls." She didn't consider herself attractive in the eyes of the way current culture defines physical attraction. She would say, "I'm not a cover girl model." But I want you to know something. She was spectacular, gorgeous, drop-dead gorgeous in the eyes of her husband. And he told her so. My young sisters in Christ, don't be so obsessed with physical beauty. And by the way, I want to share something with you very important. There is no such thing as a cover girl model. That is not true in real life. Do you know they altered those pictures, right? They brush out all the flaws. No such thing. Don't buy it. You are beautiful the way God made you. Take care of yourself. And when you meet the right guy, you're going to be the most beautiful girl in the world in his eyes. Amen? Guys, husbands, let me just share with you right now. This is how you respect your wife's body. Don't you ever insult in any way, shape, or form the way your wife's body looks. Don't you ever speak in a derogatory way. If you do that, I want to punch you. Your wife is vulnerable in front of you, and let me tell you this right now. If you do that, you will deeply wound your wife. That is very, very sensitive. And vice versa. Wives, don't demean your husband. Don't criticize. Don't insult. Don't insult the way you look. Don't insult performances. You be tender with one another. You work through all of those issues. I have counseled many married couples who have become absolutely bitter towards one another because of something that was said in the bedroom. Admiration and praise, man. So he is admiring her. All right, take another deep breath. Verse 6, he says to her, "Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. I want to spend the whole night in your embrace." Verse 7, he says, "You are all fair, my love. There is no spot in you." Guys, that's what you say. There's no spot in you. There's no flaw. Verse 8, he says, "Come with me from Lebanon, my spouse. With me from Lebanon. Look from the top of Amana, from the top of Senir and Hermon, from the lion's dens, from the mountains of the leopards." Here's what he's saying. You've left your family. You're my wife now. Come with me. You're going to be safe with me. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be gentle with you. I'm going to be kind. I'm going to be respectful. It's going to be all about you, not me. Very important that a couple feels safe, protected. Okay, so now they begin to touch and kiss, embrace. Verse 9, he says to her, "You have ravished my heart, my sister, my spouse. You've ravished my heart with one look of your eyes, with one link of your necklace. How fair is your love, my sister, my spouse. How much better than wine is your love, and the scent of your perfumes than all spices." My heart is overwhelmed. I am taken with you, my love. Your love is better than wine, the smell of your body better than any spices. He's saying, I'm enraptured. I'm intoxicated with you. Verse 11, your lips, O my spouse, drip as the honeycomb. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. Honey and milk are under your tongue. See, a lot of people think it was the French who invented that kiss. No, that kiss was invented long before there were French. And here it is, in the written word of God, in the context of marital love. I want you to look very closely what he says to her beginning in verse 12. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up. A fountain sealed. Literally, you're a fountain that's locked or barred. What's he praising her for right there? Her virginity. Her purity. He says in verse 13, your plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, fragrant henna with spikenard. Spikenard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all the chief spices, a fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. What's he doing? Listen carefully. This is their wedding night. This is their first time. And this husband says to his wife, I am so glad you saved yourself for me. I am so glad you waited for me. How beautiful that is to me, my darling. And vice versa. Young person, listen very, very carefully. Save yourself for your wedding night. Save yourself. Guy, listen. Save yourself for your wife. Gal, listen, save yourself for your future husband. Oh, how incredibly rich and beautiful for the couple, first time on the wedding night. The world teaches you a lie. Listen, the world says you should have sex before you get married. You should have sex while you're dating. You got to find out if you're good. You got to find out if you're compatible. You got to find out if, you know, you need practice. Figure each other out. See if you're going to enjoy that part of your relationship. Wrong. Wait till your wedding night. It's in marriage. It's in the context of marriage that you discover one another. That you learn one another. That you grow in that part of your relationship. And check this out. You will do that in the context of a committed relationship. With somebody that you know loves you. With no worry. Oh, is this going to be a one-nighter? God has something real special for you. If you trust and obey and wait, don't believe the lies of this world. Okay. Now she speaks up. We've heard from the guy. Now, what does she have to say? Verse 16, she says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, O south. Blow upon my garden that its spices may flow out. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its pleasant fruits." Oh, I am yours. Take me. Take me right now. I'm yours. I'm yours all night long. I'm yours every night. I'm yours for a lifetime. Wow. It'll make you sweat, won't it? So, this young couple, they consummate their marriage relationship. After their first time together, verse 1 of chapter 5, Solomon says, "I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk." In other words, I am satisfied. Absolute sexual satisfaction within the context of a committed relationship. With real love. Look at the last part of this verse 1. We read, "Eat, O friends. Drink, yes, drink deeply, O beloved ones." Now, a couple weeks ago, I told you that it's kind of hard sometimes when you're reading through this book to figure out who's talking. And sometimes you have to guess, and here the New King James has guessed. Do you see what it says? "To his friends," in parentheses. So is this the husband talking to these guys right after he's had sexual relations with them? "Yeah, guys, eat, oh friends, drink. Yeah, it's great. You're going to love it." Do you think it's that? I don't think so. Some have said, well, maybe this is his friends talking to him. Hopefully they're not in that chamber. I think that'd be a little gross. Here's a better explanation. Many, many Bible scholars believe that this is the voice of the Lord to that young couple. It's not an audible. It's expressing God's blessing. Read it that way. Here's the Lord talking to that young couple who have waited. They've been patient. They got married. It's their wedding night. They enjoy one another. And the Lord says, eat, oh friends. Drink, yes, drink deeply, oh beloved ones. God's stamp of approval. God saying, enjoy. It's a banquet. Be satisfied. I created you that way. I brought you to each other. Enjoy one another. Beautiful. You know, I found that when it comes to sex and God, sex and the Bible, sex and the Christian faith, a lot of people, even many Christians I know, when it comes to sex and any of that, the word is always no. No. We don't talk about sex. No. Let's be clear. There is a no in the Bible when it comes to sex. You are not to have sex outside of the marriage relationship. But there's also a really, really big yes. We just read it. In the context of a marriage relationship, God says, yes. Enjoy. Satan will lie. You know, Satan is totally backwards. The world is backwards. Satan in the world says sex is most exciting outside of marriage. You know, it's edgy. That's when it's really exciting. And then Satan will turn around to married couples and, you know, sex inside marriage. Boring. That is so wrong. That is so backwards. God says, not outside marriage, because lots of bad things happen there. But inside marriage, it's yours. Feast. As he puts it there, drink deeply. I want to share just a few things with couples tonight here who are married. If you are married here tonight, please, you know, I hope you see it. Do you understand that sex is not dirty? Sex is not ugly. It's not sinful. It's not a minor issue. Do you understand that? You know, there's a lot of Christians, and for whatever reason, maybe they come from a sordid past, or maybe they grew up in a legalistic church, that you don't talk about sex, and sex is dirty. And you've carried that into the marriage relationship. Sex is not dirty in the marriage relationship. Sex within the marriage relationship is a gift. I mean, you look at all the language in this chapter. you know, gardens. You know what, basically in the Bible, when you read about a garden, there's another word that you use for garden in the scripture. You know what that word is? Paradise. Paradise. It's a garden. It's a paradise. It's a gift. It's something to be enjoyed. It's not dirty. Husband and wife, listen, man, you get up and you're hassled all day long. You go out and you're hassled by other people. Life is hard and all of this. Man, sex for a married couple is meant to be an oasis from all that, a mini vacation. You get together, close those doors, and you enjoy. It's a gift. Here's another thing I've heard, and a lot of Christian couples also say this. Well, sex is only for procreation. God said, be fruitful, multiply. So sex is only so that there can be babies. Do you see any mention of children in our chapter at all? Is any of that on the mind of this young couple that have just gotten married? Nope, nope, nope. It's all about enjoyment. Sex is not just for procreation, though it is. It's also for recreation. I want to hammer that down. There's a wonderful little secret that you find in this passage that I think needs to be said to enhance, make that part of your married life as good as it can be. Maybe you notice this, but when Solomon is talking to his wife in the bedroom, there's only like two or three times where he uses the word I. Most of the time it's you, 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 you are lovely, you are this, you will be safe with me. Listen carefully, sexual intimacy is way more about giving than it is receiving. It's being focused on the other one, not yourself. What am I going to get? Understand that. Wife, understand that about your husband. Husband, understand that about your wife. Two wanting to please one another, both of them focused on the other. Wow. All right, now, some of you wives, right now, it may be that your husband desperately wished you knew this and believed this. Because they're hurting. Wife, are you the one that says, oh, sex is dirty? You have a headache all the time? Wives, listen. Your husband needs you in that way. Husbands, let me speak very candidly to you. You may have a wife who desperately wants that too. But you're all about what you can get. It's different for men and women. Men get attracted very quickly, don't they? Women, it's more emotional. So, I mean, guy, are you the guy that comes home from work and says, I'm ready? Or will you spend time with your wife? Connect with her emotionally. Do you date her? Do you romance her? Say, well, I'd be more interested if my husband were more interested in what makes me more interested. Very, very important that part of your relationship as a married couple be very, very good. And you speak very candidly to one another. You make sure that that's an important part. This is kind of an odd sermon, isn't it? I mean, at the end, what do you say? Be not only hearers of the word, but doers of the word. Be practical. Okay, now, for those of you who are single, for those of you in our youth group, for those of you that have those, you know, you're young and those hormones are bouncing around, listen, do you see from this text the importance of saving yourself for marriage? Do you see the reward? Do you see the benefit? Please understand that so much harm comes when you have sex outside of marriage. I think I've shared you before. Sex is like this fire. It's raging. Okay? Now, a fire looks really good in a fireplace, right? I mean, there the fire is. It's within boundaries. It's in a fireplace. It's burning. It's strong. It's hot. It belongs there. That's where sex belongs, in marriage. Now, what happens if you take that fire out of the fireplace and put it in the middle of your living room? Now it's outside of the context. Now it's no longer beautiful. Now it's destructive. Now things burn up. Please understand that. Sex outside of marriage will hurt you. Let me speak of how it can hurt you, and let me speak of the person who is sleeping around, just going from girl to girl to girl to girl, guy to guy to guy to guy. You are breaking hearts. You are going to experience all kinds of guilt. Things like unwanted pregnancies that can then turn into abortions. Sexually transmitted diseases. I say translated, transmitted. You know what I mean. STDs. Lots of harm. Lots of damage. There's another lie that you see in the world. And the world is like this, guys. I want you to listen, my young brothers. There's a lie in the world that says, if you're a real man, you're going to have lots of babes. If you're a real man, if you got manly, if you're macho, you're going to have all kinds of girls. You're going to have all kinds of sexual experiences. You know, James Bond with all of his Bond girls. And the world says a real man gets a lot of girls. No, you know what? What makes that person any different than a dog? Running around from dog to dog to dog. Control yourself. Let me tell you what a real man is. A real man is a man who can sexually satisfy one woman for a lifetime. That's a real man. A real woman is a woman who can sexually satisfy one man for a lifetime. So you wait. You do it the way God would have you do it. Don't believe the lies of this world. So sex is harmful for that person that's out sleeping around. Sex, listen, is also harmful before marriage to the two that are in a committed relationship. They're dating. Maybe they're getting engaged. It's harmful. And there's two ways I want you to think about it. You're in a dating relationship. It's a good relationship. It's a good, solid Christian relationship. It's ideal. It's headed for marriage. You have sex. It's going to complicate things. It's going to create guilt, worry. You wait till your wedding night. Prove to one another that you have self-control. Prove to one another that you can be faithful. It will damage even a good relationship. Now, here's another thing sex will do, and please consider this. Sex before marriage can also prolong a bad relationship. You think about that. Here's a young man and woman. They're dating. They're not getting along. They're fighting. They should not be going further. They should not be getting married. It's going to be a disaster. But here they are. Let's just have sex. So now that couple has sex, and now they feel, well, I got to stay with this guy. I got to stay with this gal. And they stay. And there they go. All of the junk in their relationship that they haven't dealt with is totally masked by sex. And they find themselves married one day, and it is a terrain wreck. Sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, can prolong a bad relationship. Do it the way God says. Amen. Young person, please listen. Single person, do it the right way. You trust God. Trust God with that part of your life. Obey Him. And you see what God's going to do. Now, I realize that this is a very sensitive topic, and I've been very candid and frank. I think we need to be candid and frank with it. It's too important. And I realize that in a sensitive subject like this, there can be guilt because there are people who blow it. Some of you here tonight have blown it. There are some who have had sex before marriage. There are some that are involved in adulterous relationships outside the context of marriage. There are Christians, and I see it more and more, it troubles me greatly, they go live together without getting married. They live together. Maybe there's a marriage where there hasn't been any sexual intimacy for a long time. It's all sinful. Maybe you've allowed yourself to become influenced by pornography. Listen very carefully to me. Pornography will make you a pervert. It will completely twist and pervert what romance and sexual love is supposed to be all about. Maybe you've blown it. Well, I want you to know tonight that Jesus loves you. And there is grace, and there is restoration, and there is forgiveness. You know, the blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible says, washes away all sin. All sin. If you're here tonight and you've blown it, then I invite you to come to Christ. Maybe you're here tonight and you've never received Christ. You know, Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. And you can have all of your sins forgiven if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian here tonight and you've blown it, come back to the Lord. He will wash you clean. He'll restore you. I would invite you to make amends, repent, do what's right. You struggle with things like pornography, safeguard your life. Get yourself in an accountability group. Christian couple living together? Move out. Or go get married. By the justice of the peace, get it done. You in a relationship where the guy's pressuring you? Listen, if a guy says, I love you. You've got goat hair. No, not that. I love you. I love your mouth. You can trust me. I know we're not married yet. I love you. Come to bed with me. Real love can wait. Real love can wait. Maybe you're in a relationship and that there's that kind of pressure. Get out. But I really love this guy. Get out. Will you trust and obey God? There's restoration. There's forgiveness. Say, Terry, I blew it. I'm not a virgin. My wedding night, I've blown it. Listen, God can restore you. And I would say to you right now, begin saving yourself now. Begin saving yourself again now. Commit yourself to purity. Father, we thank you. And I pray, Father, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would strengthen us in this area of our lives. God, I pray for every marriage here. Father, I pray that this area of every marriage would be strong, that it would be dealt with honestly. I pray that it would be healthy. Lord, I pray that you would just put a passion in the hearts of those that are single tonight, young youth, getting all kinds of lies from the world. Lord, put a passion in their hearts to obey you, to put you above those desires, to trust you. And then, Lord, I pray for forgiveness tonight. I pray for restoration. If you're here tonight and you have never received Christ, you've never had your sins forgiven, and maybe you sit here tonight and you feel real dirty, I've blown it, Can I be forgiven? Can I have a second chance? Yes. You can have all your sins washed away. Give your life to Christ. If you've never received Christ, I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. You pray this. Lord Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior. Thank you that your blood washes away all sin. Thank you for dying in my place. Forgive me. Clean me up. Put your Spirit in me. And help me to live wisely. Keep me on your path. Help me to trust you with every area of my life. And then if you're here tonight and you're a Christian and you've blown it real bad, maybe even recently, I invite you right now to do business with God. Do you believe that he knows best for you in that area of your life or not? I invite you right now. Maybe your prayer is something like this: Lord, help me to do what's right. No matter how hard it might be, help me to do what's right and good by you. Forgive me of my sin. Take me back. Clean me up. Put me on that pathway of holiness. Help me to trust you. Let's all stand.